Well, this morning I want to talk with you for a bit here about, well, an exhibit. It was an exhibit that was a very telling exhibit. The exhibit was at the Creation Museum in, well, it's near Cincinnati. It's actually across the line in Kentucky, in Petersburg, Kentucky, not real far from here. And this exhibit was, well, here, let me put these on. It was after this, which is Eden. You can hardly see them in the lushness of the dense forest, which is to pick Eden there, but there is Adam and there is Eve prior to the fall, at least depicted it as best we can in our fallen world. And then the pictures are of them after the fall and the blood sacrifices and what that all meant and destructiveness of animal against animal. That's where the exhibit was. It was in this sequence. If you've been to the Creation Museum, they basically take you through Genesis 1 through 11 with exhibits and talking about it from a scientific angle. It came right after the fall and the depiction of the fall, and it took us to, as you walked into the room, some striking scenes of the social ills that have come since the fall. They describe it, the Creation Museum, with words like this, and I'd like to quote them because I have a little thing here where they say this. Throughout the world, generations of young people are being educated in schools, colleges, and by the media with evolutionary ideas about our origin. Sadly, they are being brainwashed into believing that the history in Genesis concerning first Adam and the entrance of sin is not true. Logically, then, they begin to reject the truth of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. If the history in Genesis, thank you, concerning our origin is not true, and if there really is no absolute authority, then there is no ultimate purpose and meaning in life. And so they present this exhibit. The exhibit is of a classroom. And the classroom has, what shall we say, some discernible, blatant presence of defiance to authority, some very discernible presence of drug influence, and just an atmosphere that is defiant. The scene was too telling, so it appears, because the Creation Museum gets this quite often. There was a great deal of offense taken to this, and they were highly pushed concerning keeping that particular exhibit up. What this was a depiction of is what we come to in Ephesians chapter 6, and I would ask you to turn there with me. In our series in Ephesians chapter 6, a series that talks about believers, what you are into, we come to this, the present darkness. In that exhibit that they were highly pressured to remove because it was telling, too telling, of the effects not only of evolution. Evolution has been around for a long time. As a matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the East and Eastern religions. But the whole presence of darkness. During the Middle Ages, which are called the Dark Ages, evolution wasn't a particularly popular notion among people, except in the East. And yet, why do they call them the Dark Ages? Suppression. You know what was suppressed? The Word of God was suppressed. And we had darkness. Or do we have present darkness today? What kind of things do you see that are a present darkness for us?
Racism.
Okay, racism, abortion, deterioration of the family, crime rate. Do you know that Indianapolis, a near city to us, has one of the highest crime rates, murder rates in the nation? A present darkness. How about maliciousness in social media?
Hate.
Sex trafficking. This past week, I picked up Counterculture and was reading in here about parents in the Himalaya area, which is such a destitute spot. He says this: parents were persuaded by the promise of a better life for their daughters, so they send them off with men who turn them into traffickers. Most of these girls live, like a lot of them don't there, and on their 16th birthday, they're forced with thousands of men. Tears your heart out to think of that. A present darkness. Drug problem. Every city. Every town. Every village. Every burg. As a matter of fact, in Hartford City, they are working with Portland and getting a coalition called CORE to attempt to deal with that. A couple of us are involved in that. How about even the themes on popular TV shows? All of it. And NCIS or NCSI? NCSI, sorry. Okay. Crime scene investigation. NCSI. SI. All right. Naval, right? Whatever it is, what's it about? It's about crime. And our lady talking about as a child. There is a present darkness. There is a present darkness. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord talks to us about this present darkness so we're not unaware and so that we are provided for in this present darkness. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this, "I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." Now, look at the clear assumption there, that darkness is here and it's present, but he's come that you don't remain in the darkness. So Jesus said, again, Jesus speaking, said this, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." There is a present darkness, and God does not want us to be unaware of it, and he does not want us to be unprovided for in it, because he's done both, made us aware and provided for us. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's a lamp so I can see my feet, and it's a light to where those feet are going to go. He's provided for us. "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." In this present darkness, in Ephesians chapter 6, we come to God's unveiling of this present darkness and bringing us light. A light for it to shine in this present darkness. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. We're going to shine the light on this present darkness. Specifically, in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 12 is where this present darkness is spoken about. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 12. Verse 12. "For we do not wrestle," he says, "against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Folks, this is what he identifies as being the source of the present darkness that we just described in vivid detail, that we all saw at the Creation Museum made just too telling for a lot of folks. It's too telling. We are not unaware, and we have been provided for. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to take a look at what we're into. You know, what we have seen so far in the book of Ephesians is really encouraging. It is really uplifting. I mean, let's just scan this quick in Ephesians. Chapter 1, he talks about God in love acting on your behalf in choosing you before the world even started to be in Christ, and Christ giving us this relationship of adoption with the Father and the Spirit of God sealing us in this until the day that this redemption is completed. Oh, there's some very encouraging things God acting on our behalf. Chapter 2, he seats us with Christ in the heavenly places. The heavenlies are the places from which God's ruling jurisdiction over everything takes place, in the heavenly. In Christ, we're seated there. We are seated there with him. And he has put us in connection with the mission that we're giving to today, with his people that he called from the Old Testament times, that we're working with them. There is a great union here. And then chapter 4, he begins to talk to us then about walking in a manner worthy, being equipped so they would grow up into Christ in everything, he says. That we, chapter 5, become imitators of God, having the personal experience of being filled with his Spirit, moved along through this life with his Spirit. Under that influence of the Spirit, our family life is affected. Husbands and wives, as Doc just noted, was a tremendous place where the present darkness exists. And parents and children, the Spirit-filled life coming there, and the Spirit-filled life coming into our working with each other in jobs, in voluntary endeavors. And then he says this. In the midst of all that encouragement, he says, there's one thing remaining. Exactly, that's what it means when he says, finally, one remaining thing. Verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, so that through this you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, the very place where we are at in Christ, the place from which God rules the world. There are spiritual forces of evil there. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We know, brothers, that we are from God. This apostle John says, right after talking about being born of his Spirit, the Spirit of God, it is a real thing. There are people who say they're Christians, but they are devoid of the Spirit. The Bible describes them, and it describes them well in the book of Jude. They say, but they're devoid. It's a form of godliness. It denies the power thereof. From such, he says, turn away. Turn away from them. We are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And therein is the source of the present darkness that we know, that we all just recounted. This is a real thing. And this morning from this passage, we're going to talk about this present darkness concerning what God wants for you and me in this present darkness. This is what he wants. This is what he goes after and directs us to. Number two, we're going to talk about where you and I are to stand in the present darkness. This is the location, the position that we are to occupy. So occupy this as planned, as directed. And finally, we will talk about when we will encounter our need for this in this present darkness. That's what the PD stands for. It's not police department, at least not in this context. It is present darkness. What God wants, where you and I are to stand and when we will encounter in the present darkness in a very personal way the presence of this. Now, I want you to know, as he takes us through this one remaining thing, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. And still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power is great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Should we in our own flesh confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. This is God's will for us. It's what he wants. That's where we start. This is a call to armor. This is part one. We're going to look at the call this morning, and next week, the specifics of this, Lord willing. What God wants for you and me in this present darkness. One remaining thing, he says. You are to be strong in the Lord. This is an urgent thing. This is an urgent direction he's giving to us. It is a direction. It is a call to direction. It is almost in military terms, like the Apostle Paul's using here. And for him to use this military image was very fitting. It was very fitting because Paul's in prison here, and he is around a lot of military folks. As a matter of fact, he talks to about himself being chained to the guard, dressed in their armor. That was fitting, but it's also fitting like this, because God pictures himself as dressed in armor and being the divine warrior who is on our side. We're not the right man on our side. Our striving would be losing. This is a fitting picture. It's a fitting picture. The way this is said here, the being made strong is passive on our part. It is done to us. We are empowered. We are strengthened. We are made strong, and the source is this, in the Lord. It's in the Lord. Finally, one remaining thing. Be empowered, made strong in the Lord. In the supernatural power of the Lord. That's the term that he uses here. It's only used in the New Testament for supernatural power. Be made strong in the Lord, by supernatural power, in the power of his might, in the power of his might. This is what God wants. You passively to be made strong in the Lord, in the power. This expression of power is different because it's power in action. You know, I've noticed something over the years when I lived in Illinois. when I live here in Hartford City. Hey, even when I lived up in the Chicago area, I know that guys have kind of a hankering for trucks. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? The other day I was behind a truck and there was this see-through sticker on the back window that said, "Silly rabbit, trucks are for girls." And it was a girl driving the truck. Now, you know, this past week when the weather got a little rough, like Thursday morning, we had an early 8 o'clock meeting that I needed to go out. And you know what that was kind of like at that point in time. And I got in our Explorer, and our Explorer is a 4x4. Now, and it's intentionally by a 4x4, and I intentionally got this Explorer 4x4, which means four-wheel drive, so my wife would have it. But in the time period we've had it, I've never really had an opportunity till this Thursday morning to reach over and push that button that said 4x4. And I pushed it. And then I put it in drive, and with all of that was all around, I just touched that pedal, and I went right through it. I went right through it, and it was like, whoo, what am I driving here, a tank? Whoa! That I was going through it so much that when I returned to my driveway, which was totally drifted, I never do this. I just drove the whole driveway right through. You know, I know why guys like trucks, especially the 4x. And I want you to know that the whole power of that thing wasn't of me at all. If I was completely passive in this. And that's what he's telling us. This is power in action. That's what this is. It is power in action that is inherent. It's resident in the Lord. That 4x4 button that's right there on my dashboard, that power, I don't have it on all the time. But man, is it there when I pushed it. That's what you have in the Lord. This active power that resides in Him, we are to be made powerful, strong, supernaturally strong in. That's what God wants. That's what He wants. As a matter of fact, it's a direction from Him, an urgent direction. And then he adds this: you are also urgent to put on. This word is to sink into. To sink into. You know, this past week, it got a bit chilly out, especially when I was going out. Not all of my vehicles are four-wheel drive. As a matter of fact, my Ford Focus is a front-wheel drive. And I was just coming over here with Ellie, and I said, boy, you know, it is really different driving this SUV and my Ford Focus. It's really different. So I had to get out and clean that driveway for the other vehicles that are there. And you know, as I did this, I slipped into this jacket that has a material that resists the wind blowing through it. What he's telling us here is urgent, is to put it on, sink into it like a garment, like the sweater. When it's cold in the house and you just slide into it, and that's what you're to do here. Sink in to the full armor of God, he says. The whole, the complete for the need that you have. That's what that means when he says the full armor. It is complete for the need that you have, the full armor of God. This is armor under, for sure. And it's armor over, all that we need, under and over. And Under Armour here is not a brand name. There is Under Armour and Over Armour that he will become very specific in concerning sinking into this. You know, I can't think of this without reflecting on Iron Man. And he hits that button and it all goes. It just, and the things that he can do and where he goes. Now that is fiction. And this is not. This is provision from God for what we need to do and where we need to stand, because there is a battle of light and dark that is going on. It is a battle that involves unbelievers. As a matter of fact, listen to this description from the Word of God concerning the battle on unbelievers. The Bible says this: if the gospel, if our gospel, the gospel we preach, is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see. That's the darkness. They are unable to see the glorious light of the gospel of God. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ. That comes from the New Living Translation, because it kind of puts it more in our vernacular there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. That's the darkness. It's a darkness by blinded minds that they don't see. It's a dangerous place. It's a deadly place, this present darkness, for unbelievers. But for believers, listen to this. Stay alert. Be watchful. For your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. Firm in your trust in the Lord. A hungry lion hunting to devour here today for us, for me? Like, come on. You know, some believers, the idea of a hungry lion looking to devour them today, now, here, specifically you, is like the furthest thing from their mind. I'm here to have fun. I'm here to get what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And the idea that there's a lion that wants to chew me up? Come on. I want you to know that that is the present darkness, and they are surely prey, if that's what they're thinking. And there's many that think that way. There are many. Now, my purpose in saying this is so that we will stand where we need to stand. We will be in the position that we are to occupy, because there is a position God has for us to occupy here. The armor of God is because God is in the battle. It is His battle. You are to sink into it because it is to be what completely provides for you. So get submerged. And here is where you are to stand. You are to stand, position yourself against the schemes of the devil. Now, the word that he uses for schemes or for against here is that you are to be in a place that you move towards the schemes of the devil. You are so provided for that the movement is toward them. Not running away and cowering, not thinking they don't exist, that they're not there, but that you move towards them. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us, verses 14 and 15, that we are not ignorant of his devices. He has wiles. He's got schemes. He has plans. And the word for schemes here is the word methodia. What do you think we get from the word in the Greek called methodia? Methods. He has methods that are cunning arts. They are cunning crafts, cunning arts and crafts that he who is the opposer, the slanderer, the accuser has designed for you. They are real. They're part of this present darkness. And the position that you are to put yourself in is that sunken into this complete armor, you move towards them, not cowering away from them. You move towards them. Now, did we in our own strength confide? Our winning would be losing. You can't do this without God's provision. In the book of Acts, there was a person who tried to do this. As a matter of fact, he went up and he started to talk to, and in Acts chapter 19, verses 15 and 16, the Spirit responds, and he says, "Paul, I know, and some others, Barnabas, I know, but who are you?" And the Spirit works against this man and completely strips him, thrashes him, and sends him out with his tail, quote unquote, between his legs. Ow, 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 ow. That's your losing. In your own strength, confiding. It's losing. In the supernatural power of his might, active, resident in him, we move towards the cunning arts and crafts, because we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his schemes. You see, folks, they are consistently the same. They come out different variations, but consistently the same. And you can see it because it is consistently the same. I want you to do this. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm sorry, I want verse 11 first, then we're going to go to chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 3, we see this clear statement. Apostle Paul is speaking to these believers, and he says, verse 3, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning arts, his cunning craftiness, your thoughts, there is the target. Your mind, your thoughts, your thinking will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I want you to think for a moment about what happened to Eve. Eve was there, and the serpent began to play with her mind, and began to shade what God had said, and then quite frankly pointed out that God was position of being suspect and outrightly defied what God had said. So that her mind progressively moved through the shade, the suspect, and then the conclusion that it's good to do this, contrary or inconsiderate of what God has said, I can do this. The effort was to bring the mind along. Always is. Always is. The mind of man plans his way. As a man thinks in his heart, what? That's the way he behaves. That's the way he acts. The mind is looked at as the reins. It directs where we go. In Mark 5, when there is a direct encounter with the demoniac, Jesus deals with him in a supernatural way. And the Bible tells us this, that the man was then clothed and in his right, what? Mind. His thinking had come back from being led astray. Always, this is his device. Lots of different avenues, but we're not ignorant of his device. It always is. Has been. It's what he does. As a matter of fact, Jesus called him the liar because he abides not in the truth. He is a liar and the father of it, the deception. Cunning arts so that you think differently than the way it really is. Sometimes with conspiracy theories? Well, no, in this conspiracy theory, I'm thinking about it the way it really is. Or am I? That's the game. It's always been the game. It's his game. Where do we get the truth? Where do we get the truth?
Word of God.
The Word of God provides to us the truth. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells us, be very leery of saying conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. Direct statement. Wait a minute. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we live and move around in flesh and blood bodies, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raised up against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. His target is your mind. His aim is to take you along on the same path he took Eve, so that you, with shades and then suspect, come down on a place where doesn't line up with what God has said and given us direction to. That is always, always, always his device. And he does it sometimes with such beauty, such appeal. Why, he's able to appear as an angel of light. Look, this is light on the subject. This is light. A messenger of light. You can't in your own strength confide. Your winning would be losing. We have to confide in his strength. Next week, we're going to take a look specifically at how these pieces of armor fit. Let me see where I am or where I'm supposed to be. Okay, let me get going here. He goes after your thinking, so you believe his lie. Here is an illustration of how this goes that is present day. I have sent this to some. This was a circular that went around this week. I've talked to you last couple of weeks about Ordinance 3121. Do you remember that? At West Lafayette? This ordinance had basically the statement that there'll be $1,000 fine for anyone who attempts to instruct children relative to gender orientation and gender identity. So this ordinance has been brought out into the light. And this is going on. This was a circular that was passed around West Lafayette, Purdue campus this week. And it talks about Pastor Viers, who has a biblical counseling ministry there right on the corner of West Lafayette, Purdue University. And it says this, Pastor Viers, keep your hands off our kids. And then it goes on, Ordinance 3121 would help end the practice of conversion therapy, converting therapy on minors in West Lafayette. Pastor Steve Viers and his cronies in city council want to block Ordinance 3121 and continue the practice of child abuse in our community. And this gets circulated. Contact your city council. Couple of things here. Notice the nature of this. Pastor Viers has hands on our kids. Hands on our kids? What does that suggest to you? Looks a little shady here, yeah. Don't you think? Hands on our kids sounds a little shady and suspect. Conversion therapy, pastors and conversion therapy. You know what conversion is, right? Conversion. Well, this conversion therapy, classic conversion therapy, is where a person has a deviant behavior, sexual orient. As a matter of fact, this came from Diagnostic Statistical Manual, recognizing this is a deviant behavior. Here is a treatment, conversion therapy, where you shock a person in the sexual organ so that's no longer is a stimulant to them, and you use other things that would be like ammonia. There it is. That's what I'm trying to think of. That would turn them. Conversion therapy. This is suspect. Pastors and conversion therapy, and they want to convert our kids, and they have hands on. And by the way, our kids, you know what the our kids are? You see, it takes a community to raise a child. It takes a community. So the kids are our kids in the community, and parents can't talk to their kids because only, according to this ordinance, a state licensed counselor can do that. No parent, no unstate licensed counselor. Now, do you notice the nature of this thing? Would you say that this seems to be trying to lead minds in a direction? I think I hear a voice from Eden. You are to stand in this position, for you are to wrestle. You have hand-to-hand combat. The wrestling has always been... Had you ever watched wrestling? Anybody? I'm not talking about the big time or whatever they call it nowadays, World Wrestling Federation, or how it's changed. What do they call it now? SmackDown? That's what I think. Whatever it is. Okay. Yeah. They use deception, and in real wrestling, there's these moves that are kind of trying to trick you. This is the kind of thing you are. You are in a hand-to-hand wrestling match. This is personal. This is yours. It is not against people, though people get involved because of mind being led astray, but it is really against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is the war, the rulers. How is Satan? Satan, you know, is not omnipresent. What does that mean? He's not everywhere. He's not omniscient, which means he doesn't know everything. So how does he make the whole world lie in the power of darkness? How does he do that? He has an order. And in this order, there are rules. And you know, this is a rebellious group. So there are authorities here. that keep this thing in line. There are rules, there are authorities, there are cosmic powers. What is cosmic power? Powers mean, well, do you remember Daniel chapter 10 when Michael the archangel ends up contending with the prince from Persia? Do you remember that? There was a prince released from Persia who is a cosmic power that influenced Persia, influenced the United States, influenced Saudi Arabia, influenced Ethiopia. There are these cosmic powers, and what they are spiritual forces that are there in the heavenlies, the very place where we're seated in Christ. The Bible talks about this. The book of Job, chapters 1 and chapter 2. The book of Psalms, chapter 81, talks about this place of counsel there. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to get a little bit better picture of this, better put on your deep commitment here, the unseen realm. There is this force. Don't worry. You're provided for. You're taken care of. This is what you struggle against. And you can't keep it together without his armor. All of it. All of it. Spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Let's conclude by saying this. When we will encounter our need in this present darkness, this is centered around what is said in verse 13 right here, in the evil day. This is the center. The evil day, of course, we've been in evil days since Christ came, but there is a particular evil day, verse 13, going back to Ephesians chapter 6. There is a day in which there is a planned assault. Job had it. The Apostle Paul had it in countries where suddenly there's a riot coming at him. Martin Luther had it at Worms, an assault to where he shrank and he didn't even know if he was going to hang with the gospel or not. Needed to take a day to think about it. You have it. It's a day that this cunning craft gets unleashed on you with rulers, authorities, principalities, powers. It comes at you. And you think the whole world is going apart. It's an evil day. There are probably more than one, but definitely an evil day. Pre-evil day, here's the direction. It too is an urgent direction. Take up, he says, verse 13, take up the complete, the whole, the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against in that evil day. Post-evil day, and having done all of this, having done it, having taken up the armor, like he says, having done all, you're victorious to stand and stand firm. Verse 13, take up the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I want you to know, folks, you and I inhabit this present darkness. It's where we live. We live here by God's purpose and plan. He could take out the demons. He could take us to heaven, but we are here for his purpose. purpose and plan, what he wants, where we're to position ourselves, when it happens in the evil day, so that through the ages to come, he may show the exceeding riches in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For all ages to come, he is going to demonstrate how he made you stand in this world, in its darkness, with its devils filled. I'm going to end with this illustration, and then we're going to sing. We're going to sing. I'm watching my clock. How much more minutes? Okay, I'm going to end with this illustration. Kendrick's brothers put out a film called Prayer Warrior. War Room, that's it. Prayer War Room. Priscilla Shire was in that. They told Priscilla Shire, that is Tony Evans' daughter, that you're going to be attacked by Satan when you do this. And she said, I've been in a ministry. But she said, I was attacked by Satan and his emissaries. So she wrote a thing called The Armor of God, put it out for kids to know what this involves. Been helpful. We've used it in our family repeatedly, even for Michelle. She grabs the picture of the armor of God to stand. Father, you're good to us. Thank you for the provision. And as we look at it, the detail to be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen.